Empire Notes are weekly commentaries filed by Rahul Mahajan, author of Full Spectrum Dominance and the New Crusade. Today's commentary is about Friday's presidential debate.
I nearly fell asleep several times watching the debate. While my narcolepsy may not be of intrinsic interest, it does say something about the evolution of a candidate who is the most interesting and, to many, the most inspiring in recent history, and about the lack of evolution of the foreign policy status quo and the lack of any interest in self-awareness on the part of the American political mainstream. After Barack Obama gave his speech on race in March, pointing for the first time ever to a way past the toxic atmosphere of racial resentment that defines today's partisan divide and cripples attempts to create a better country, I asked a left-leaning friend what he thought. After reflection, he said that Obama was, quote, presidential. It was a mini-revelation to me. I had never in my life considered that the word might have a meaning. The feeling was short-lived. Months ago, I wrote that Obama had lost his mojo and suggested that the chance of his ever saying anything original again was small. My prediction was rather depressingly borne out during the debate. Although I'm quite sure Obama made some deliberate decisions to change his tack and has no doubt convinced himself that many of his new positions make sense, it's not particularly illuminating to blame him. Instead, reflect on a system that is so stable and so all-encompassing that, after two failed wars, the destruction of Iraq, the loss of close to 5,000 U.S. soldiers, and a tremendous amount of sustained open controversy, the 2008 presidential foreign policy debate could have been the 2000 debate. The space between Bush and Gore on foreign policy was not noticeably smaller than that between Obama and McCain. Obama wants to talk to Iran at some level about something without preconditions? Big deal. What's he going to offer as an inducement to make a deal? Vanished in the wind is his attempt in the early summer to oppose hysterical hyperventilation over the non-existent threat from Iran. Apparently, even pointing out that talking about Israel and doing something about Israel are two rather different things in the Middle East is not acceptable when everyone is watching on TV. He said Iran is trying to develop nuclear weapons, disagreeing with both the most recent national intelligence estimate and the latest report of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And he seems to agree with McCain that Iran's Revolutionary Guard is a terrorist organization, although neither of them even knows the organization's name, calling it the Republican Guard. What does this combination of certainty and ignorance remind you of? Yeah, that's right, the entire post-war national security establishment. Obama's proposal to send two more brigades to Afghanistan is risible from a philosophical or a pragmatic point of view. First, Afghanistan is at a point where more troops mean more trouble. Second, with increases of tens of thousands in the U.S. troop presence over the past few years, why is another increase of 7,000 even a policy, let alone a new one? When asked about how to cut spending to pay for the bailout after being pushed, Obama mentioned eliminating the $10 billion a month we're spending on Iraq while, quote, they have a $79 billion surplus. This is truly odd since Obama has nothing convincing to say about ending the occupation anytime soon. Besides, the $10 billion a month is spending on the U.S. military and its operations, and it's hard to imagine why the Iraqi government should pay for them. Even on what, in a rational polity, would be the easiest target of all, the bloated military budget, Obama actually let McCain get in the only word. He suggested that cost-plus contracting should end, a cosmetic measure compared to the roughly $600 billion in annual military spending or the $700 billion bailout, but more than Obama had to suggest. And both of them talk a lot about what they surely know is the chimerical goal of energy independence, something that would only be possible with the major cuts in consumption that nobody, including Al Gore, wants to talk about. Don't get me wrong, it makes a big difference who gets elected in November. It did 4 years ago as well. Remember all the silly talk from certain activists about how 1968 got Nixon elected but the Vietnam War ended? It makes a bigger difference this time since it deals with America's most persistent and most defining sin, for one thing, and because of McCain's rapidly progressing dementia. Just don't expect that difference to make much of a difference, if you know what I mean. For Empire Notes, this is Rahul Mahajan.
For more information, visit www.empirenotes.org.